You know, I was going to think of some way to open this by breaking the fourth wall, but you can't really break the fourth wall in a review.
Why is it Chris thinks he can't talk to you directly?
Well, who are you talking to, Richard?
Who am I not talking to?
We could talk about our cock.
Yeah, that's true.
My highly detailed CGI. Richard spent most of this movie telling me about Stan Lee's flaccid cock.
My considering his cameo, so it may not have been so flaccid.
Yeah. I'm the most excited it's been in a while.
Top three Stan Lee cameos ever.
Oh, yeah.
For the record. But yeah, we are talking about Deadpool, the adaptation of the Rob Liefeld.
Don't give him more credit than he deserves.
He drew a guy in a red and black suit.
and then other people drew him better and did far more exciting things with him. Thank you.
I still don't understand why the actual guy who was writing Deadpool isn't given the credit as opposed to the artist.
Because fuck writers. That's why.
So one thing, right off the bat, I knew I was going to love this movie. When in the opening credits, where they're showing, not what anybody's names are, they're just insulting everybody. The one group that doesn't get insulted is just written by,
Band of Heroes.
I was like, I know I'm going to like this.
Produced by assets.
But we got a whole gang here because everybody wanted to see Deadpool. I'm Chris.
JC.
Bo.
Herman.
Diva.
Richard.
I think you still had more people in the Hail Caesar review.
Yeah, I think we did.
I think it was the same.
I think it was the same
number of people.
I only have so many seats.
Well,
so.
I went to go see it, but I chose to bow out.
Well, you didn't know.
Because I didn't want to talk over everybody.
When has that ever stopped you? That's just inherent in the business.
Oh, well, no, tonight I do want to talk over everybody.
Loud noises.
So I'll just get started and then you take over. So anyway, this movie is about... Oh, I thought you were going to go. I was like, now I can relax.
No, you do the boring parts.
I'm going to be in Tahiti.
I'll interrupt you.
Ryan Reynolds plays the titular role of Deadpool, a.k.a. Wade Wilson, who when we first meet him, hey, is Deadpool. Which is nice. Good way to start a movie with a bit of the old ultraviolence.
It's really the way they had to. If they had tried to do a slow burn on this, it would have been really stupid.
Yeah, you can't ease into a Deadpool movie.
Yes. Instead, they went full stupid, and that's how Deadpool movies should be.
Yeah, there's a lot of violence right up front, and then you're like, okay, we're going to piecemeal give you the flashbacks back to when he wasn't Deadpool yet. But, hey, relax. He's still pretty much just as funny and awesome and violent when he was just a guy.
He's Van Wilder with a gun.
It's surprisingly enough, this is the role that Ryan Reynolds has been born to play for a long time, and did indeed play, very unfortunately, a while back.
Which is one of the many things that they do actually comment on directly.
Yeah.
Many, this is a character who in the comics fourth wall breaks. Here he doesn't merely fourth wall break, but actually give a running commentary on all the mistakes that have been made in the X franchise to date.
There were a couple of times Ryan Reynolds was actually sitting in my lap whispering in my ear.
It felt like that. But anyway, back to the plot. TJ Miller plays his best friend, I guess, the best you could do. Weasel, who's the bartender.
Well, he is. He's
a mercenary bar.
Yeah, he's a mercenary, kills people for a living. You know, his social life is not really thick on the ground.
But he, finds his reason to be happy when he meets Monica Baccarin, who plays Vanessa, who is, I guess she is indeed a hooker when he meets her, but they are like a perfect match for each other. They're both wise asses. They take no shit from no one.
Yeah.
And I'm actually surprised they didn't end the movie with her talking to the fourth wall, breaking the fourth wall. She's so much like him, but he falls in love and all is happy until, bam, cancer everywhere.
Yes. Because that's how real life works.
And he's like, I'm not going to let you watch me die. So he wanders off and he gets an offer from a mysterious man in black. Who was actually...
It looks like Rory Cochrane, who has been mutated into a even scarier Rory Cochrane.
He was the sweet guy who fell in love with
Galaxy Quest.
In Galaxy Quest, he was the sweetest of the aliens. I was like, I love that guy.
Wait, I thought he was... Wasn't he the one that got killed? What's his face?
He's the one
Dr.
who...
Dr. Lazarus?
He's the one who fell in love with... No.
Maybe you're right. He's the one who got killed.
He's Galathar's hammer avenged him.
Yeah.
A
lady fell in love with Monk.
Yes, that's right.
Yes.
Okay. He doesn't fall in love with anyone. He just becomes their leader.
Missy Pyle.
No, that's Enrico Colantani.
Okay. Hey, Deadpool.
That's Deadpool.
Veronica Mars is Deadpool. roll.
I miss Alan Rickman.
But anyway,
well, don't bring a movie trivia with me.
So he goes and like submits himself. Okay, well, sure, I'll go in for this testing. We're not going to call it Weapon X, but I guess maybe at some point they'll say
it looks like
offshoot of Weapon X.
It looks like Weapon D. I mean, it's some really low grade.
It's ghetto Weapon X.
It just looks horrible.
I would have almost liked, because they made references to the other movies, I would have almost liked him saying, this is like a low budget version of the one from the original movie.
Yeah.
Which, there might as well have been like a car mechanic in that plane. Like, under the hood. But we make super villains and we also fix cars.
Yeah.
But so he goes through the process, which basically is supposed to stimulate his mutant gland, his dormant mutant gland,
wow,
by giving him as much torture and pain as possible. So
not everything, not the only thing that was stimulated.
There's a lot of butt stuff in this.
But yes, it turns him into Deadpool. Downside being, he gets real ugly. Mm-hmm. But he also cannot be killed. He's like, can heal any wound really fast. Some wounds faster than others.
Yes.
And his wisecracking is upgraded. And, you know, we're kind of both figuring this out through the flashback and through the parts where it keeps going back to what's going on now with him fighting, trying to kill this one guy who is the guy who, in fact, did this to him in the first place, who had said, yeah, I could make you look pretty and heal that, but I'm not going to.
Because, yeah.
So he wants to end up back with his girlfriend, but he thinks his girlfriend would love him.
Yes, we do that. We just evil.
Anyway, so you got that. You got Colossus and Negasonic Teenage Warhead showing up in a couple places here to add to the team. And ultimately what you have is a movie that, in my opinion, nailed Deadpool so exactly, I don't know what else they could have done to make it more like Deadpool, you know? Mm-hmm. If you're a fan of the comic book, this is going to make you real happy.
Yeah.
One of the things about this movie, like going in when the trailers first came out, especially that Red Band trailer, mm-hmm, I saw a lot of negative comments saying that they felt like the jokes were going to wear thin and pretty quickly. And if you feel that way based on the trailer, that's pretty much how you're going to feel in this movie. Now, I say that as a warning to the people that did think that. I mean, I think we're all kind of in agreement here.
The movie wears thin when he's not joking.
Right.
Wait a minute. I want to talk to that, because one of the things I loved about this film is that it lets you hit some really dark freaking emotional moments. Like, it gets heavy as all get out, mm-hmm, but then the little time jumps and the humor let you cycle back to a fun feeling as you're going along. Like, I literally felt like the movie restarted like three different times, where it got super dark and intense and emotional, and then all of a sudden we're back at yay wisecracks and action and violence, and then it kind of gets dark and deep again. Mm-hmm. And I really like that mechanism. It actually kept me really involved with it, and it didn't. And then the humor didn't get old, because I was just like at the pit of despair moment, and then next thing you know, I'm like laughing at an ass joke.
It's a really it's a really different take on a superhero origin story, especially someone who's kind of maybe grown tired of Marvel's formula. For those people who are kind of sick of that, this is definitely refreshing. The other thing I want to touch on, I'm a really big fan of Deadpool. Obviously, not the like the Liefeld stuff, none of that, but like Joe Kelly, Rick Remender. Like, to me, those are like Deadpool at his best. And what I appreciate is that this film kind of was an amalgamation of all those different Deadpools. You get like the Joe Kelly where he's constantly ripping, he's constantly having fun. And you get the Rick Remender where type of Deadpool where he has a conscience and he's actually a person, which I didn't expect going into this film. I thought it was just going to be kind of that really super jokey all the time Deadpool.
Well, I like that latter Deadpool, the Cable versus Deadpool, where it's like, you know, he's constantly fighting against being a hero, but in his heart, he is a hero. Yeah. He just also really enjoys killing the fuck out of people.
Yeah.
So, you know, Wolverine class hero with a better sense of humor. You know, he's Wolverine crossed with Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Basically.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And that wisecrackiness, it's almost like his levels are 9 or 11. He doesn't have 1 through 8. It's pretty much, that's where he's at.
Even those darker parts you're talking about, one of the things that make it work is that you're really with him as a guy who, like, nothing can cut this guy's enthusiasm. But even so, there's that point where, okay, he's got nothing left to say.
Yeah.
And you're like, damn. And the movie's smart enough whenever it gets to those moments to pull back and go, okay, now let's go back to that insane batshit crazy action scene that is the device to split up the flashbacks.
Yeah.
I also love the fact that Reynolds had the good sense to play him as an asshole. He's not a good guy. Mm-hmm. It's laid on consistently. He's not a hero. Even when he's dealing with bad guys, it's in the least heroic way possible.
Well, he says, I'm the bad guy, you get to hunt the much worse bad guys.
Yes, yeah. And it works so perfectly. But yeah, I think that's part of what really works about this, which is Ryan Reynolds.
And he stays true to that.
Ryan Reynolds gets the character. He has shepherded this character ever since they fucked it up with Wolverine Origins.
Yeah.
He signed on as producer and didn't get paid to be producer, solely to ensure that he could take this little project, go to Fox and go, just give me $30 million, I'll shoot in New Zealand, I will take all the incentives, I will go anywhere to get this done in a way to make it be right, if you just get off my back and let me make the R-rated film I want to make that the audience wants.
Yeah, which the studio apparently had on the whole just backed off from it.
Well, they thought it was...
You do whatever you want, it's $30 million, we were pretty sure it'll make that money back even if everybody hates it, so whatever, we're just gonna like set it in scene, until they actually saw the footage and then went... Holy shit! This is going to make a ton of money for us.
And it's filled with so many smart little moments. It's not just, you know, they're taking the piss out of itself and taking the piss out of everything that's come before. There are nods within here. There is one extremely large scenic nod during the action denouement where you just go, how did you get away with that? And somebody over at Marvel Core is probably either going, motherfucker, or is looking at it and going like, yep, you remembered what universe you're playing in, but you can't play in it. And it's such a beautiful, overt visual nod that you just go, I can't be looking at that. Yeah. I can't be looking at that. They can't be having that fight on the thing I think they're having a fight on.
But they are!
And it's beautiful. And the film is filled with moments like that. And bringing in more obscure characters like Blind Al.
Yeah.
His roommate, who he just has this weird relationship in that's so beautifully sketched out, is, you know, straight out of the Joe Kelly era.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This is what happens when you give somebody who understands how to make a good film and understands a really weird, baroque, awkward piece of source material and goes, let's do that right.
And how weird this comes from first-time debut director Tim Miller, who previously, his only experience was creative director for opening credits for, like, two other films. Which, you know, once again, the opening credits for this are indeed really fucking awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
But still, he does a much more than competent job on this film altogether, including the kind of difficult to storyboard and plan out fight scenes, because when you're dealing with Deadpool, who, like, you know, can take an endless amount of damage and keep going, and everybody's doing mega flips and tossing cars into people, those type of things can be a little bit complicated when it runs so fast and furious.
Yeah.
And on here, I thought much more so than not, you could really track what was happening and get into it.
Yeah, you've got to imagine, as producer, he might have taken the route that Marvel took, in that the guys that directed the Winter Soldier did such a fantastic job with that, and I know their filmography was kind of questionable going in, but from some of the stories I'd read, Marvel interviewed these guys. They were recommended by Sam Raimi because they really love these characters, and so you get the sense that Ryan Reynolds really found a director who maybe understood
who got this character. What needed to happen.
Yeah, I don't care what you've done in your career. You're the guy who's going to do this right. And yeah, that's all it takes.
And another one of the really smart things is when they do introduce the two other X-Men who turn up. And there's a lot of jokes about the fact that there are only two who turn up.
Yeah.
One of them, super obscure, Teenage Negasonic Warhead, mm-hmm. who in the original comics turns up, has one line, and dies.
Is that true?
She pretty much has one line.
Which she costs a dollar?
And then Genosha explodes, and she disappears. And she's like, that's it.
Did not realize that.
So perfect to bring her in as somebody like nobody knows. Mm-hmm. And an iteration of Colossus, that I just want that to be the iteration of Colossus they have moving forward. A character, you know, somebody that they've taken from being an A...
He's Stainless Steel Drax the Destroyer.
But he's not even that. He's so nice.
Oh, yes,
and
he
he's
is.
But he's exactly how annoying an X-Man would be if you weren't an X-Man. It was like, no, we shall heal the world. Fuck off! These people are trying to kill you with their powers! Well, stop being pious!
Bo and I were actually talking about this on the way here, and he is Claremont's Colossus, just amped up to, like, 15.
Yeah.
Like, he's a very heightened version of the stuff from that Colossus.
He's cartoonized. He's older. He's, you know, the Claremont...
is a teenager.
You know, he's starry-eyed, but it's because he's very young. This guy is, you know, he's really preaching from the pulpit.
Yeah. But he's still got that sort of, like... noble to the point of laughable,
right?
You know, thing. And the idea of the running thing is that he's like, come on, Deadpool, you've really got to stop killing people and be a hero and join the X-Men.
My favorite bit about the two X-Men is that in Teenage Negasonic Warhead, we have a character that is the most terrifying of all evils, a teenage girl, and Deadpool fights her! And it's awesome!
Sort of.
Yeah. I need to chip in just a second. For those in the audience who, like myself, only have a basic knowledge of this lore, because you guys really know your X-Men and your comic books, and I have pretty rudimentary basic, but I have to say, so if you are going into this movie not knowing these details, not knowing these references that are being brought up in this podcast, you're still going to love the shit out of this film.
You're probably better off.
And you're going to get references, just maybe not comparative to the original literature. But I have to speak up so that girls go see this movie, not just because of the Ryan Reynolds, but because it is super girl-friendly in a lot of different ways. I mean, we have a villain that I love her.
Yeah, Gina Carano plays a character that was credited as Angel Dust, who I am not actually familiar with.
I think she was in Jill Kelly's room.
She's
obscure.
She's originally from Morlocks, which Jeff Johns did, but I don't know what else she did from there. But basically, she's like super strong.
She's a satisfying person to watch on the screen, too. It's so much fun to watch her with Colossus and all of that. So I just wanted to put that in there because I hear you guys talking about the stuff that you guys know so well and the appreciation. But to speak to those who maybe are intimidated by that or think that they're going to go over their head too many references, this movie is, like, solid from the bottom up. Even just as a movie in general, the way they navigate through the different acts, just want to put that voice out there.
And I'm by no means a huge Deadpool fan, nor do I know a lot about Deadpool, but I still really, really enjoyed it. And I would go so far as to say, like, you may even be a little better off if you don't know anything about it, because you're going in with fresh eyes. Maybe you'll miss an Easter egg or two, but you're going to have a great time.
And there are shit ton of Easter eggs in here, but most of them are relating to the filmed universes and not the actual
and Ryan Reynolds. Sometimes sad career with superhero movies.
Yeah, well, always sad before now. The only thing he didn't skewer, unless I missed it, was Blade 3.
I
liked him in it, yeah.
Okay. Well, he was the best thing.
Yeah. And another aspect to this that does work so incredibly well, and we touched on it a little bit, this is one of the best hard R action films that we have had in forever. And it is a hard R.
There's people doing it. And
there's brain
naked
matter
chicks
on the floor.
A movie can be R for, this makes sure it pushes it right to that high level of right below NC-17.
Almost wish, as a joke on the DVD, they put an edited version to appease the parents, and it's like 17 minutes long.
Yeah, right? Yeah, no, how could you make a PG-13
cut? After all that fuss with somebody trying to get a petition together, and there was more fuss about somebody trying to get a petition than there was actually fuss for the petition.
It was done for attention. It wasn't...
It was done because, you know, basically sites like IO9 love a little bit of controversy, and we'll turn that into clickbait. Yeah. You can't so in the warp and the weft, and there's no moment where they've clearly gone, oh, let's just throw in a gross moment. It's like, they just went out and made this movie. You couldn't cut it down because it would involve reshooting the whole damn thing, which does make me wonder how gloriously squalid the confirmed unrated cut is going to be. My God.
Isn't that crazy?
I just think there's going to be a crazier
version of this.
What's the runtime on this?
An hour 45.
Hour and 8.
No, it's 108 minutes.
108. Or, I'm sorry, 108.
I am fairly convinced that there's probably just a lot more Ryan Reynolds cock. We only get one real shot
There is some practical Eastern promises action going down in this thing. I'm just saying.
A lot of Reynolds' butt, too.
There's going to be some serious abuse of the pause button.
I mean, because ultimately, a lot of the humor in this is...
Not necessarily straight girls.
The humor here is very well done. Extremely puerile humor. Like, it is fart jokes, it's jokes about your junk, it's jokes about sex, it's jokes about, like, you know, money shots to the face, it's jokes about that stuff, but it's really well done. Like, it's so well timed, and nobody could sell it here like Ryan Reynolds does. It doesn't hurt as well. Like I said, we haven't talked that much about the breaking of the fourth wall here, which is done, just like in the comic, a lot. not to the point that he's doing it constantly or serving as the narrator of the film, which I'm glad is a device they largely stayed away from here. But the point where, like, yeah, he's occasionally turning to the camera and even doing such things like moving the camera away and stuff.
Or
like,
taking gum off it at one point.
Yeah, taking gum off of it. Although I will say altogether, my favorite meta / fourth wall moment was where they're like, come on, we're going to take you to see the professor. They're like, which one, Patrick Stewart or James McAvoy? it's filled with moments like that, though. Yeah. Like, to spoil a joke like that is spoiling 0.0001% of the jokes in this film that you'll actually laugh at. But you know what? Let's go to final thoughts. Start with Herman.
Well, as a Deadpool fan, it fulfilled everything I wanted to be. It was Joe Kelly, it was Rick Remender, and they managed to create this great amalgamation of all of that. And I have a lot of respect for Tim Miller, who's first time director. It's obviously, you know, the Tim Miller, and I don't know who the writers are in the film, but whoever they were, I mean, they
Paul Wernick and Rhett Reese.
Well, great. I mean, they clearly love the character, and like I do. And Ryan Reynolds, finally, he gets to be in a good superhero movie after probably almost a decade, if not more. Probably his best film in quite some time. I give this 9 out of 10 severed heads.
Bo?
This is I had a blast with this movie. And this is a movie that it gets it right because it gets its character right. If this had been about a very serious guy trying to be a hero, then a lot of the elements of this film would have seemed very, very tepid and very straightforward superhero stuff that we've all seen before. But because they do get Deadpool right, and they go pretty whole hog on the deconstruction of not only their own filmed universe, but the comics in general, it really rises above to you know, two or three levels above standard superhero fare. I had a blast, and this is, I think it's this is going to set this new watermark for superhero movies, in that this is going to make some money, and you are able to do these incredibly ultra violent things, some sexy things, some cussing things, and things that we haven't seen in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But who knows? We may just now. I definitely give it a good high score of 9 out of 10 chimichangas.
Diva?
Well, I freaking love this movie. I think this is the most fun I've had in a Marvel film since, like, Ant-Man, actually. I really, really like the speed.
So in a couple months.
I guess. I don't know. I saw Ant-Man a while back, though. I don't remember. And it's, like, my favorite, like, badass... He's a badass who does action since, like, John Wick. I'm, like, loving it so much. And it's coming out on Valentine's, which I think is kind of hilarious and awesome at the same time, because it is actually a love story. And I don't know. I can't say enough about it, but I don't want to say too much. So I would give it a 9 crotch shots out of 10. And Ryan Reynolds is awesome, and it was so much fun. So I absolutely love this film.
JC?
I loved it. I like how, especially when you look at, like, the Wolverine that came out a couple years ago in this, it goes to show that you can stray a little bit from the cookie-cutter formula that Marvel is, after so many movies, kind of starting to begin to fall into. At this point, those movies are starting to kind of morph into one giant movie, and it's nice having those sort of one-off episodes like the Wolverine was and this is. Especially it being R-rated, you definitely don't have to fall into that cookie cutter, everything being so safe and kid-friendly. Not everything needs to be that kid-friendly in this world, I don't think. I mean, I say that as somebody who doesn't have kids, but I just kind of love that this is something different. If you love comic book movies, which I still do, despite, you know, what I just said about all the Marvel movies, this is something a little different. And Ryan Reynolds he remained one of my favorite actors, even after the year... after the RIPD and Turbo Year, those are my two least favorite movies of the year. I'm still always going to be willing to give Ryan Reynolds a chance. And yeah, seeing this, a project that he really loved, and him excelling in it, made me really happy. And I love the hell out of this movie. I would give it 8.5 bullets out of 10.
Just give it 9.
Okay, 9.
Just give it 12 bullets. Give it 12 9. Bullets.
Richard?
Ryan Reynolds is a god king amongst men at this point, as far as I'm concerned. He's coming off a run of amazing...
No, he was Cannibal King in Blade Trinity.
Move along, JC, move along. He's coming off a run of great, weird little movies that a lot of people haven't seen, like The Voices. And
Mr.
now this,
Grind.
I am going to throw something at your head. Potentially a cat, not necessarily.
Don't throw the cats.
This is a great weird movie that people are going to see, and it's proof that you can make great weird movies. And as long as you're not going to break the studio, and hopefully this means that you're going to have the return of the $30 million movie, a genre which is a format which is dying in the studios because they're only like $3 million or $200 million. There's no middle ground. Mm. This proves the middle ground works if you know what you're doing with it. And everybody here knew what the fuck they were doing with it. This is just great, horrible, squalid, despicable, wonderful, awesome fun. I am going to give it 9 out of 10 long overdue residual payments to DMX.
I think we're all on the same page here, to say least viewing it. Hasn't everyone given it 9 out of 10?
Something like that. Yeah.
And I'm giving it 9 out of 10, too. In this case, 9 out of 10 of movies that Ryan Reynolds has in his future that suddenly his paycheck is going to go way up for, because this is going to be a hit. This is going to be a big hit, and this is what Ryan Reynolds, who has always been a very charismatic actor, a very talented actor, but has taken chancy roles and kind of hidden just underneath the surface for things. This is the kind of role he's been wanting, he's been striving for so long. Finally got it, and yeah, we're going to see him get to A-list status because of this. I guarantee it. This works on so many different levels. I feel like, even though, yes, it just won't be the right movie for some people who don't like hard R, violent, lots of cursing films, but there are also going to be people who don't mind that sort of thing normally, who are going to go in here with their arms crossed in front of their chest and be so determined to hate this, no matter what, that you're going to hear no end of bitching on the internet, which will probably be nothing but good for the movie and some receipts, quite honestly. Ryan Reynolds is absolutely as good as everything else is. This works because of Ryan Reynolds in the suit. So perfectly cast for it. If there's any complaint, and it's really the only reason I'm not giving this a 10 out of 10 for what it wants to be, it does it so well, is that the CG on Colossus is a little shaky, little plasticky, doesn't look great, but hey, they only had $30 million, and it looks like it's a fantastic-looking film.
Looks more convincing than
generally.
You.
Yeah, well, I only cost $100,000, so there you go.
And there's just one...
And $900,000 of that was shipping.
Yeah, it was done on a video toaster. I love this. I had so much fun with it from start to finish. There really isn't a point that you pull away and go, oh, you're losing me, movie. There isn't. You're with it all the way to the end. And by the way, stay till the very end of the credits, because there is a post-credit sequence which... Like, out of the weirdest thing ever, talking to Martin before the movie, I called what it was going to be, and Martin looks at me and goes, you're a witch! You're a witch! I'm like, I know, I should burn. I'm freaked out. How could I possibly have called that? But anyway, yeah, go see Deadpool. Don't take your grandmother.
Oh, no.
Unless your grandmother is awesome.
My grandmother would have loved it. Both my grandmothers would have thought this was the best thing ever.